I have a, I'll just say a sense that the Holy Spirit wants to do something mighty in this service. And I don't know how you think about it, what you think about it, but I say, I take it. If you want to do something mighty in my life, I receive that. He's not going to force anything on you, and we're not going to do nothing weird. Oh, maybe I will. I don't know. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is your people. This is your church. We belong to you. We're asking you, mighty God, to touch us from the front door to the back door to all the side door. Father, we want the anointing. We want your guidance. We want your instruction. So, Father, I'm asking you to touch this body. Open their ears to hear. Father, Holy Spirit, we're allowing to just move into this place and take over. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. And we give you all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you notice, we took the pulpit out because the pulpit's taller than I am. And I hate standing on my toes for 20 minutes, so I have to get it down to a level I can see it. And I like to look at you in your eyeball to eyeball. Amen. Glory to God. What a mighty God we serve. Can you just raise your hands? Father, we're just praising you this morning. We're giving you the glory and the honor. Father, thank you for this time, this place, these people. Father, we just give you first place here, that your will be done. And we appreciate you. We adore you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. I want to second what the pastor said on Friday. I had some excellent men keeping me from getting burned up. Now, I'm serious. I got hit one time with 12,000 volts. I was electrified. I was glowing in the dark type of stuff. But God was there. And this Friday on the stuff we did back there in the 134 degree temperature out there on the backside of the building, I had three excellent guys, a pastor. He was right there. William was right there. Roger did show up. Late, but he did show up. But it's a God thing, amen? Turn with me to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to God, hallelujah, hallelujah. 6th verse. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. One translation says they'll be satisfied. Now, as I was preparing for this, and I got to thinking about my own life, because I know my own life better than I know any of your lives. And I got to thinking about how that at times despair would come knocking at my door. You ever had despair come knocking at your door? Maybe an issue came up and you looked at that issue and said, how in the world are we going to handle that? Or maybe an unexpected financial thing come up and you say, uh-oh, God, what are we going to do now? Have you ever felt frustration gnawing at you, and you feel that something is missing from your life? You ever felt that? It's like getting up in the middle of the night, going to the refrigerator, opening the door, not really knowing what's in there, but you expect something good. Been there? And you look at this and you look at that. I like watermelon in our refrigerator. We got watermelon in the bowl. But there's sometimes you know that watermelon just don't hit the spot, especially about 1:30 in the morning. I don't know what it is about that, but there's a problem there. So you open the refrigerator, and you look at in there, and you say, well, I'll try the watermelon. Take a bite of that. That don't hit it. And you keep looking in the refrigerator. So you take a nibble of this and nibble of that, and finally you just close the refrigerator, and to bed you go again. Been there? Done that? All right, I'm not the only one that does that. He's shaking his head. Thank you very much. I needed that. But many of us go through similar unfulfilled emotional moments. We get this thought or we get this idea, whether it's true or not, and that emotionalness has us off kilter. You ever been off kilter? I'm using these big words today. Yeah. Are you liking them? It's working, huh? In the back row, they're asleep back there, but they're okay. Here's the question. Where does genuine satisfaction come from? genuine satisfaction? Okay, does it come from, the answer lie in fame? You ever been famous?
In my own mind.
In your own mind? I was almost burned up out there in the back of the church, and I was trying to be famously cool. But it was hot back there. How about this? Success is an answer. Whatever going on in your life, if you can be successful, it resolves all the issues and all the problems. Somebody's shaking their head. Yes. How about satisfaction come with power? How many like power? Do you know that I am the mayor of a big, big town called Bonanza? 9 days I've been mayor. What? There's no impressiveness here. You should say, wow, we got a politician and a preacher here. Which are we going to believe? Both. How about this one? Does sexual gratification really bring satisfaction? So, he's talking about sex in church. Well, I want to spend just a few minutes on these. How about if Jesus put it this way? Blessed are those that seek after fame, for they shall be satisfied. Does fame satisfy you? It doesn't. There'd be too many millionaires and too many movie stars and too many people that gave their life up, and fame didn't hit it. It's like getting in the refrigerator. There was nothing that hit it just right. So I got to thinking about this. Fame doesn't handle it. It doesn't. Turn with me to Matthew, the 6th chapter. That's the next chapter over after the 5th chapter of Matthew. You like how I'm giving instructions? Matthew 6. Verse 33. I want to talk about satisfaction today, if you can't tell. 33rd verse. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I don't know if you know about the promises that's in the Word of God, but there's promises and there's provisions in the Word of God that you need to grab hold of. If I seek God and seek his righteousness, then all these things will come to me. That's a lot of stuff. The Word of God is full of promises and provisions. It's Mars. But if you don't claim it, if you don't receive it, it ain't going to do you no good. Someone say amen. That was really pretty good right there. Teacher, say amen, please. Okay. Now, the 34th verse. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Understand, trouble is out there. It is knocking on all of our doors. Trying to do what? Disturb, control, take you out of focus, remove you from the blessings, remove you from the provisions, remove you from the promises that God has given us. They're out there. The enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And guess what? He's got your name. He's after you. He's after your family. So one thing that we have to understand, the enemy does come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said it this way. I come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. I don't know which one you want, but I want abundant life. I want all the provisions God has for me. I want to hang on to it. I want to grab hold of it. And I want to live it. I want it. Amen. Can you say amen? Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. And as I was getting ready for this message, there was a football coach. His name was Tom Landry. He coached Dallas and, you know, a couple of Super Bowls kind of stuff, you know. And I got reading about him. And this is what I found out. He said, I discovered that God was the first in my life. Just before he took over head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, he had an encounter with God. And for the rest of his life, he says, that encounter kept happening over and over and over again. God made provisions for me. He said, not that I was a great coach, not that I knew it all, but when God came in the picture, everything changed. If that could work for that coach, could it not work for me? Could it not work for you? Could you not be a blessing instead of a I'm going to say that. Okay. Does sexual gratification satisfy? Jesus didn't say, blessed are those who seek sexual gratification. Did you hear me? I know it's church, but, you know, okay, we got to go on. It has been said the most important thing in life is to live your life for something more important than your life. God called us to be a witness. God called us to rule. Are you hearing me, church? But it's not about my life. It's about what I allow God to do in my life. And the more that I allow him to work in my life, the greater and the stronger I become in this world. Are you hearing me? And guess what? This world is not always a pretty place. Have you had stuff happen in your life? She's not shaking her head. Yes. Yes. We know for a fact that we live in an age of miracle drugs. Miracle drugs. The miracle that's in the Word of God is still so important to us if we can understand. It's one of the oldest miracles that's in the Bible, and it's called the miracle of love. Love heals. Did you hear what I said? Love strengthens. Love gives you the motivation, not your wife, to get up and go to work. Because you love her, you're going to get up and go to work. Say yes. Yeah, okay. So with that, I did some study from a psychologist who said, now, see how smart I'm getting with these big words? He's discovered that people only use 10% of their ability. 10%. I think it's another one he's saying we're all dummies. What do you think? But when we push the limit to find out what we're capable of doing, there's no limits. The scripture says all things are possible to them that believe. What things? All things. Little things, big things. All things are possible for you to walk from here to back there. For you to walk to over there. You hadn't walked there before, but you walked there now, right? Say yes. I pick on everybody, so I don't feel bad. Okay? The secret of satisfaction. Oh, I didn't say that right. Say it more. Say it louder. Satisfaction. Happiness, fulfillment, are kind of exclusive if you don't allow God to work in your life. In other words, enough is never enough. How many's got more money than they need? We're going to talk after service. The pastor said, we'll take some. How do we find satisfaction? If it's not in these four little things that I talked about earlier, how do we find it? What did Jesus say? Turn with me back to Matthew, please. You might keep your finger there because we're going to go back and forth there. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Another translation says, they'll be satisfied. So if you want to be satisfied with your life, then Christ has to be the center of your life. You have to work at it. You have to seek him. You got to dig in. You got to come to a place that you say, okay, God, I want what you have for me. I know it's available and I want it. But you don't have to take it. You could forget it. I don't listen to this music anymore. There was a group called, I think, the Rolling Stones. Some of you are going, yeah. And I think it was Mick Jagger or something that came up, I can't get no satisfaction. Do you know how many people bought that thought? Do you know how many people tried to sing that song? My wife's raising her hand like this. I did. But when you think about it, is that's the world view. But that's not what God's view is. God created you and I to be overcomers. To be an overcomer, you've got to be satisfied. You got to walk in faith. You got to have a relationship with Jesus. If you don't, guess what? You will never be. That will be your song for the rest of your life. I ain't got no satisfaction. I don't know how the song goes. I ain't sung it in years. I never did sing it. Okay. Jesus says the way to get satisfaction and happiness lies in us seeking the righteousness and walking in the righteousness. So, what is righteousness? Righteousness is not merely avoiding temptations and being successful. Righteousness is not absolutely holiness and perfection. Is a truth that we know and we understand that when we make a mistake, we have somebody that we can go to and handle that mistake. Come on, church. Are you listening? How many have not made a mistake today? Yesterday? Last week? Last month? Understand that we have an advocate with the Father. And we can go and we say, Lord, I messed up. Forgive me. And you know what he does? Now think about it. He forgives you. He forgives you. Understand that. Grab hold of it. Real repentance is a positive thing. Did you know that? Have you, those husband and wife relationships, you know, have you went and said to your wife or your kids, well, I'm sorry. Then the wife or the kid says, you don't really mean that because you did the same thing last week to me. Yeah, I mean it. I'm sorry. I did wrong. Forgive me. Well, God doesn't do that. When you say, God, forgive me, you know what God does? He forgives you. Absolutely. He forgives you. So real repentance is a positive, dynamic, and highly motivation to redirect our lives. Now, I have a problem with the pastors. I'm going to confess this in front of all of you. So it never be held against me at all. Are you ready for it? Okay, here it comes. I can't tell you the times when I first came to this church that these two individuals say, Bill, that's negative. Has he said that to any of you? Her. And they say, you can't be negative, Bill. Anybody got the spirit of negativism? He's two or three people shaking their head. I didn't think anybody was going to show up with that today. Now, with that negative spirit, sometimes you don't think it's negative, but it can be negative. It's how you gave it out. It's how you portray. It's the spirit that you do it with. So these two got together and picked on me. And that's what they do. I'm just telling you like it is. And they says you can't be negative. That's an unhappy attitude. Say it with me. Unhappy attitude. Being negative is an unhappy negative. So if you want to change your life, get away from that unhappy attitude and go to a happy attitude. Are we okay? Amen. And you know what I like about these sermons like this? People look at one another when you come up with this stuff. I know you've been a negative. See? Now the pastor's telling you this. Negative. And with that negative says, I'm nothing. I'm worthless. I'm bad at righteousness. And what happens, we evolve into more and more negativity. Nothing's right. Nothing tastes good like from the refrigerator in the middle of the night. Everything is in an uproar, upside down, because you're walking in that negative, and what we need to walk in the faith and the positive side of Jesus Christ. Point blank. And that's the only way we're going to make it. Now, when the pastor says, these are the two verses that you are to teach on, it's his fault that you're getting this. So, I just want to tell you. Righteousness comes through real repentance. Real. What does that mean? You mean it. You're going to stop doing what you did so you don't have to repent for that ever again. You move away from it. Repentance is saying no to negativity. Temptation is to do more of our best instead of our least. Now, my best was for the church here, was Friday out in the hot sun. That was my best. Sweat running down. Not knowing when OG&E was going to show up. Not knowing that we had to have an inspector there. Not knowing that we were drying up like a prune out there. I mean, it was bad. But what I have to understand, what you have to understand, what we've got to grab hold of, is things happen. But you can't allow the things that happen stop you. Pastor felt sorry for us and made us go out and eat in a cool restaurant. Now listen, as soon as we got in that cool restaurant, I didn't think no more about the heat until we drove back in the parking lot. Then the memories came back. Then the sweat started pouring again. We sat here, we sat there, we walked out here, we walked out there, all just waiting on the inspector to show up and the OG needs to show up so we could get out of this place. Right, William? Okay. Sometimes when you say no, you really mean yes. Did you ever think about that? Have you ever told your wife no, but you really meant yes? She says, will you go to the store with me? No, but you get in the car and go. These things arise, you're right? You do. But what I want to talk about just for a moment here is we need to be selective in what we're hearing and what we're receiving from the world. We need to control what we take in. We need to control what we chew on. I didn't say you were cows and chewing your cud. I didn't say that. I was thinking that because the more you chew on something that's bad, the bigger that thing gets. You can say amen now. That was really pretty good. Thank you. You're fitting in right with this church. Okay?
Praise God.
We need to be very selective, hear me, church, of what we receive right here.
Yep.
There's a bunch of junk out there, and it's all around us. The word says, hunger and thirst after righteousness must mean more of that. It means that we desire to live a positive life that will bear fruit and bring forth something beautiful. Did you hear me? You're built, I'm built, we're built, if we want to understand it, to bring forth good fruit, not garbage. There's enough junk food out there already. How many like junk food? Oh, look at hands. Shit, I messed up. I got the wrong message. Have you ever seen the movie Karate Kid? Huh? I did some reading on the Karate Kid. That guy. I've probably seen it 300 times. How about you? Oh, yeah. Did you know that he's a Christian? Did you know that there was parts in the show that he wouldn't take that was already in the show plan, and he wouldn't take it because he said God would not be pleased with it? Did you know that about him? I thought all movie stars were creeps. But the reality is he loved God. He loved his relationship with God, and he wasn't going to allow that movie job to interfere with him and his relationship with God. I want to say to you, stop allowing the enemy to interfere with your relationship with God. Stop allowing the enemy to take your faith away. Are you hearing me? Quit backing down. Oh, I need to be meek. That was last week. But what you need to understand is you are an overcomer. Greater is he that's in you. But you'll have to allow that greatness to grow in you so that you can stop the enemy from doing what he's doing to you and your family. If I was going to break into your house and you had a gun, you would bring that gun out to stop me from breaking in. Well, there's a individual named the devil who come to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to break into your lives. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your money, your everything. He is designed, built to cause you damage. And shame on the church for allowing him to do that. You don't have to allow it. Read that scripture, says, hunger and thirst after righteousness, and you will be filled, or you will be satisfied. I'm satisfied when I whip up on the devil. Are you hearing me? I'm satisfied when I know the enemy has come to my house and I stop him at the property line. He says, you're not coming in here. You don't take up residence here. You have no place here. You can't do this to my family. You can't do this to my finances. If you don't take a stand, he will come in. Righteousness is a positive thing. Faith-producing people who actively pursue God and are given dreams. I believe that God gives dreams. I believe our pastor has a dream for this church to be bigger than it is. We can either decide to dream with him or not to dream with him. If you say yes, you'll be living and trusting God's promises. But you have to say yes. I can't say yes for you. You have to say it. You have to come in agreement with God's word. Your word says, by your stripes I'm healed. That's not Bill Collins. That's God's word. And my job is to agree with God's word. So guess what? By his stripes we're healed. That's what the word said. There ain't no ifs, and buts, could be, maybe, should be. I don't know. Ain't none of that junk. It has no value here. You and I have to stop the enemy from coming in and planting doubts. You either stop him or he comes in. And the more room that you give him, the more room he'll take up. The more that you question God, the more trouble you're in. I'm still on the Beatitudes now. Righteousness is attempting to accomplish something beautiful and possible. Do you understand that? In other words, God didn't call you just to sit on these nice, what color chairs are these? Purple chairs. He called you more to do more. He called you to be more. He don't want you to just use 10%, as that psychologist says. But he wants you to use the whole thing. Can you imagine? I'm smarter than I know I am. Did he say yeah? Do you know he's smarter than he thinks he is? No, he thinks he's smart already. Huh? Yeah, okay. I'll be leaving out that door quickly after service. Okay. Win or lose, we need to attempt to build our self-esteem, success or fall. You can be sure of this. You'll be able to live with yourself and not be ashamed if you try. Church, we don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to live that life. All we have to do, now listen to this, it's almost too simple, is do what God says to do. But I can't. Why can't you? The word says all things are possible to them that believe. So if you're believing what the word says, it's possible for you to do that. Say it's possible. People say no to God because they don't know any better. You know what grows a church? People knowing God. Point blank. Knowing God. Knowing that God's word says this. And if I do this, this will happen. Right. Let me say it again. Knowing God, and people who say that God doesn't move, they don't know God. They don't understand how faith works. They don't understand how the word works. And still they're laying down, they're dying, and letting the enemy take everything they got. I refuse. How about you? I refuse to allow him to take my peace. I refuse to allow him to take my joy. How come we're not the happiest people on the face of earth? You shouldn't walk in and say, oh, no, Bill Collins is going to preach. You should walk in and say, hey, Bill Collins is going to preach. It's going to be loud and good. I guess I woke her up, huh? Did you see that? Okay. People have just enough religion to make themselves miserable. You like that too? I did too. I can't talk no more in this side of the church. I'm going to have to go over here. Okay, I got some questions. Are you satisfied with yourself? You don't have to answer because people will talk about you later on. Are you happy? Is your life all that you hoped it to be? Like many of you, I've had lots of goals in my life. Had those points I wanted to hit in the education and all this kind of stuff, you know, things that I wanted to do and be, you know. Can I tell you right now, I had no way in my mind ever wanting to be the mayor of Bonanza. It is not a joy that I was looking for. It is not profitable. I heard about pigs this week. I've heard about chickens running loose. I heard about the neighbor's dog chasing the chickens that the person let out of the cage. I heard about sewer. I mean, I've heard some great stuff. I mean, it's just awesome what comes out of that town. I heard about James Fork. How James Fork came and they said, we're going to raise your water rates. I said, wonderful. I'm sending them to your house to get 5-gallon buckets of water. He said, no, really, we're going to raise your rates. I said, I understand that, but I'm going to send these people to this town, 500 people to your town, to get water to your house. He said, you don't mean that. I said, do you mean that you're going to raise my rate? Yes, I mean this. And listen, I was joking, I was teasing, I was kidding, but 90% of the people in Bonanza, Arkansas are older than I am. And I'm old. And they've lived there all their lives. Okay. Put that up on there. Please. I often thought in my own life, what would satisfy me? And I'm like most of you guys or most of you people is, I thought if I had lots of money, that could help satisfy me. Say yes. Yes, see. We don't give choices here. We just help. Okay. Then I thought that if I did this, I would be happy. Then I married that beautiful woman, and that made me happy. You notice how I'm doing this, guys? There's a training I'm doing here. Education. There you go. That's it, see. But what I found, happiness is not just in my wife or the bank account. Happiness is in my relationship with God. He knows me better than my wife, the puppy dogs at the house. He knows me. And if you didn't know this, God knows you too. He knows you're good, you're bad, and you're ugly. That wasn't just a film. But he knows you. And guess what? You can't hide it from him. So one of the things that we need to do, be quick to repent, to allow God to take over control. Okay, I'm going to stop in just a minute. Okay, did he put it up there yet? Adam, put it up. He's looking for it.